The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, thank you, young people, for that. Take your Bible and go back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, and also looking at verse 14. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Then Paul, I believe, also gives a testimony in the next verse. "I pressed toward the mark of the," it says, "for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You know, Paul, if anybody would have a reason to live a life that would be a life of regret, maybe a life of, "I was disappointed in what I did," things of that nature, it would be Paul. But one thing I notice about Paul, and you do too, in the scriptures, that he just decides he's going to press forward. And I think that's something we all need to decide to do. 2018 is right here. It's upon us. And we ought to decide that we're going to press forward. And so I'd like to speak this morning on reach for the top. Whatever the top that God has for you to reach for, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your family life, whether it's in your business life, whether it's in a life of ministry, whether it's in a life perhaps of trying to develop a relationship with someone else, we ought to strive to do better than we did last year. You know, let me give you the 10 most popular New Year resolutions. Of course, you'll know this one first off. You'll be able to guess it first off. It is lose weight. Okay, that's the first one every year. I mean, here in America, the New Year resolution, very first one, top of the charts every year, bar none. Ever since I've been preaching, it's always been lose weight. Okay, another one this year is stop smoking. So there's people that are becoming more health conscious about the things of their body, and they're going to try and stop smoking. Another one is this, is that stick to a budget. Stick to a budget. Now, these are New Year's resolutions for 2018. Stick to a budget. In other words, people that perhaps have gotten themselves an excessive credit card debt, they realize it's not good for them, it's not good for their finances. Maybe others have gone outside, spent other funds, and they've just decided, "Hey, this is the year I'm going to bring it all back in. This is the year I'm going to get control again and stick to a budget." Number four is this, save and earn more money. Save and earn more money. This is 2018 in America. Save and earn more money. Another one is this, find a better job. Find a better job. In other words, the job that they have right now, they're not satisfied with. They said, "We're going to find a better job." Number six is this, become more organized. Become more organized. Now, that might mean the shoe closet. I don't know. Might mean the desk. Don't know. Might mean your personal life. Might mean your business affairs. Don't know. But just come more organized. You ready? Here's another. You knew this was going to hit. Exercise more. You knew that was going to be there. I kind of thought that would be up there, you know, like, you know, lose weight. You naturally think number two would be exercise more. They kind of go together. But this is number seven, exercise more. Probably the reason it's number seven is because those that have the goal for number one never hit it. And so they come all the way down to number seven. They're going to try to exercise more. Okay. Number eight, be more patient at work and with others. Be more patient at work and with others. Here you go. Number nine, eat better. Eat better. I'm going to hit that one. Eat better. Number 10, become a better person. Become a better person. Now, let me give you some bad news. Here we go, bad news. Only 15 to 20% of the people that make a New Year's resolution keep it. That means probably over 80% are resolution breakers, not makers. All right, so people set out. And now, here's why I believe it's true. I believe Paul this morning gives us the answer as to why it's true. I believe Paul says this. He said, "I'm going to press on," but watch this. He said, "This one thing I do. I gave you the top 10 for 2018. Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Can I say this? Can I say many times we shoot for too many things at one time? Because we shoot for too many things at one time, we're not able to hit the goal. I think Paul had it down. He said listen to it now. He said, I press toward the mark. That's singular. It says, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Listen to what he said in verse 13 as I back up. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Here it is. But this one thing I do. This one thing I do. Now, that might mean that you concentrate on one thing at a time. I could see that. You concentrate on your Bible. I don't think you ought to just get one goal in life and that's it. I don't think, here's my goal in life. I'm going to eat better. You need more goals than that. Well, here's my goal in life. I'm going to try and get a budget. You need more goals than that. Okay? But I think what Paul is doing, he's saying this one thing that is before me, that's what I'm going to give myself to. Don't forget, Paul is the same one that said that he was going to finish his course. There's many courses that Paul ran in his life, many courses. There was a church planter course. He ran that. There was a time when he did evangelistic work. He ran that. There was a time when he ran the course of being used by God to be able to pen books of the New Testament. He ran that. You know, I know preachers over the years that God's led them to go to a mission field. They stay, they work the mission field, they may be there 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20, and then God leads them to come back to the United States. God may lead them to be a faithful member of a church and to serve God faithfully in a church. If that's God's course for their life, we ought to be happy and rejoice with them. It might be that God leads them to be a pastor. If that's God's will for their life, we ought to be happy and rejoice with them. It might be that God leads them to be an evangelist. Hey, maybe God leads them to author some books, to write some books. It might be that God leads them to be able to be somebody in a church that gives counseling to people that's in dire straits. Okay? Whatever God's course is for somebody's life. By the way, can I help you out a little bit? Don't be too quick to judge the course that God leads somebody else down. You just be worried about walking down the course God has for you. Don't pass judgment and say, okay, here's what, I just believe that he should have did this, she should have did that. Look, don't waste time on it. You have a hard enough time figuring out God's will for you. Okay? And so don't be in judgment about somebody that changes courses. By the way, God is the one that changes a man or a woman's course. The man or woman is responsible to obey God wherever God chooses to use them. I'm sorry, but you know, in Christian realms, here's what we have. We have the judgers that pass judgment too quickly on the people that honestly, they're just trying. They're just trying. But then all of a sudden somebody rises up and they decide that they're going to be the chief judge and they start passing a ruling. Well, I just don't think that's God's will for their life. How do you know? How do you know? You know, please don't forget there was a time when Philip was, I believe, having a great revival. Things are taking place. God led him to the backside of the desert. He's on the backside of the desert. Oh, but wait a minute. Man, things are going well. You think there was people pass judgment on him? You think there was people who say, Philip, you're nuts. What are you doing? You're going to go over here. There's nobody on the backside of the desert, but God knew there was a man from Gaza that was going to travel all the way over to Jerusalem to be able to try and search out the truth. He went there. He left there as empty as he went, and he came back. He's still searching the scriptures, turning to the book of Isaiah. He's there in the chariot, and it just so happened that God knew what he was doing. Just so happened. And God led him over to that man that was the treasurer for Candace, the queen. And God used Philip to be that one to be able to give him a gospel witness. And he got saved. Why? Because one man chose to obey God. You'd be surprised what God could do in your life if you would forget what other people are thinking and just obey God. You'd be surprised how God could use you if you just forget what your friends are thinking. Well, I don't know if I can stand for God in the public school because after all, it's hard. Hey, life is hard. Well, I just don't know if I can stand for God in the workplace because it's difficult. Life is sometimes difficult. God did not call you to live in a fantasy world. God called you and me to live in real life. All right, now wait a minute. Why is it that some people simply do not fulfill what we would call a New Year's resolution? Well, it might be that they're focusing on too many things. It might be this. Somebody gave three reasons. One of them was regret. Regret. They live so much in the past, they can't see how God would use them today. By the way, Paul could have did that. Paul could have said, man, I'm laying on my bed at night. I'm remembering. I'm remembering when I followed the Christians into the back of the church. I'm remembering when I stood up and I gave accusation against the man of God in the church. And I remembered as I followed Christians out of the front of the church, I followed them to their home, to their place of residence, wrote down the address, turned them in, went to court to make sure they would show up in court, stood up, gave witness against them. I remember them being bound. I remember them being delivered to the jailhouse or to the prison. I remember them being beheaded, or I remember them being slaughtered, all because of me. That's a hard way to sleep at night. But Paul never let that thing get on him. He didn't live in regret. He said, look, I did wrong, sorry, got over it, went to God, God forgave me, time to move forward. Amen. You can live so much in regret that you do nothing for Jesus Christ today. You can live so much in regret that you do nothing for Jesus. Hey, look, I love you, but stop beating yourself up. If God forgave you, then you be wise enough to forgive yourself in the eyes of God. Don't live a life of regret where you just decide, here's what I'm going to do. I'm sorry. All right, say it one time. If you have to, say it one time. Then rise up, get on the horse, get in your chariot, get in your car. We do live in this century now. Get in your car, get on your motorcycle, get in your truck, and do something for God. You know, all of us have regrets. Those of us that are preachers, sometimes we get up, we'll mispronounce a word. Nobody has to tell us, we beat ourselves up. We mistell a story. Nobody has to tell us. We know the Bible well enough. We know when we messed up. But here's what takes place. You live in regret. Well, I wish I would have. I wish I could have. I wish I could have been a better wife, a better husband, a better mother, a better father, a better child. Hey, look, I love you. Get over it. Get over it. Well, you just don't understand, preacher. It haunts me and it haunts me and it haunts me and it haunts me. Can I tell you, the Word of God is a cleansing agency. You get in the Word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. You get that Word of God, you let it cleanse you and cleanse you and cleanse you and cleanse you. By the way, your thoughts of regret will always come back, but don't let it eat your lunch. Don't let it be the cancer that takes you down. Amen. It will. Well, I remember the day I got up, tried to sing, didn't work. So therefore, I'll never try to sing again. Well, I remember the day I got up, I tried to preach. I couldn't find the outline. But I remember the day, man, I got up and God blessed me and I knew I was supposed to tithe, but I had the bill here and the bill there and I decided I was going to steal from God because after all, He's only God. So I stole from God. I didn't tithe. I didn't give. It'll be okay. Got to get over it. God still wants us to do right. But you can pick yourself up, you can brush yourself off, you can start to live for God today. You don't have to live in the past. Can I tell you, there's a reason it's called the past. Amen. It's gone. Well, man, I had some children, didn't turn out right. Okay, but don't live the rest of your life
so you cause other people to stumble over you because you're not living in victory today. I'm saying there's reasons that people do not keep their New Year's resolution. Sometimes because of regret. Sometimes because of comfortability-ness. I mean, they're comfortable. You know, they get used to sleeping in. They get used to relaxing. They get used to a pain-free life. They say, man, if I get up and exercise my bones, my muscles, my body is going to ache. If I make a tight budget, it's going to be hard to live. I mean, after all, I enjoy my freedom. You know, if I decide that I'm going to be that person that earnestly serves Christ, and I decide that I'm going to try and have patience with other people, that's hard because you don't even have patience with yourself. I'm saying this. I'm saying we get comfortable. We get comfortable. It's easy to gain the weight, hard to lose it. It's easier to sleep in than it is to get up. It's easier to remain ignorant than to gain intelligence, education, and wisdom. You know, let me give you some examples here. Somebody says, I want to sleep over rather than getting up to pray. Somebody says, I want to watch more TV versus coming to church on a Sunday night. Somebody says, you know, I'm going to let the bills take care of every problem that I've got, but that tithing thing, no way, Jose. Somebody says, hey, listen, I'd rather be served than serving. Somebody says, I'd rather pamper my body than discipline my body. Hey, can I tell you? Listen, you'll never get victory by living in a comfortable lifestyle. Some people do not do their New Year's resolutions. Why? Because of regret. Some because they're too comfortable. Others because of fear. Fear. You know, they say, well, I tried it once. It didn't work then. It won't work now. God's not dead. God can help you. You said, well, I prayed last year and he didn't answer. Okay, then pray again. Pray again. I promise you, my Heavenly Father, if he was going to get tired of somebody praying the same prayers over and over again, it would have been during the days that I prayed for mom and daddy and others to get saved in my immediate family. I mean, every single day, several times a day, just calling it out, calling it out, calling it out. I do the same thing. Now, my kids are saved. My dear wife is saved. But I pray for my dear wife. And I pray for my kids several times a day. I'm not talking about where, okay, just pray for them one time. No, no, no. Several times a day. You know why? I'll tell you why. Because I want them to be able to serve God and to be able to live for God. And if I don't pray for them and I don't stand in the gap, who's going to? I'm saying, but sometimes there's a fear of the fear of failure. Sometimes the fear of the unknown. Man, I tell you what, I just can't do it. I don't know what the end result will be. I can tell you this, serving God, you're going to get a better end result than if you don't. So no matter what the end result is, if it's serving God, you're going to get a better end result. Sometimes a person says, well, there's the fear of change. You know, I'm just so comfortable that I'm afraid if I serve God, I got to change something. But change is good. The baby appreciates that in the nursery. Change is good. Sometimes it takes a new coat of paint inside of a living room. Have you ever noticed this? Houses that are painted up, not falling down, neglected, always sell for more. Somebody asked me the other day, said, when do you think ladies ought to start wearing makeup? I did not give a politically correct statement. I said, when the barn starts cracking, fill it in and paint it. That's not a politically correct statement. You say, preacher, wait a minute. When do you think you ought to start losing weight? When you're getting bigger than the door you're supposed to enter. Now, let me give you some solutions. Can I do it? Here's what we see. Statement number one, change the way you think. Change the way you think. See, a lot of it starts here. You're your worst enemy. It's not what others think about you that's stopping you. It's what you think about you. Well, I tell you what, preacher, I'm worried about what so-and-so's thinking. And so, no, forget it. They're not the important one in this scenario. The important one in this scenario is you. Because you will defeat you faster than anybody else defeats you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, here's what it says. Finally, brother. He says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think. Boy, that's a good thing. Think on these things. So change the way you think. By the way, put it through the funnel. You ready? Put it through the funnel of right there. Is what you're thinking, is it true? Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? Is it virtuous? Is it praiseful? Put it through the funnel. Put it through the funnel of Galatians chapter 5. Is it spiritual, Holy Spirit driven, or is it fleshly driven? Put it through the funnel. If it doesn't pass the litmus test, then don't think on it. So how do you do that, preacher? You are in control of you. Nobody else is. Well, so-and-so, they made me think a bad thought. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Nobody can make you think a bad thought. Well, so-and-so, they made me do this. Forget it. It doesn't work. You can't blame your activity, whether positive or negative, on anybody else. Come on. I have people all the time say, well, the reason I didn't turn out for God is because of my daddy. Reason I didn't turn out for God is because of my mother. Reason I didn't turn out for God is because of the dog I had coming up. What are you talking about? Somebody says, the reason I didn't turn out for God is because I just did not know. You know, we live in the age of knowledge. Have you figured that out? I said this the other day. Somebody says, well, I can't read the Bible. It's crazy. But now you can even find Bible apps where somebody can read the Bible to you. And you can even change their accent. You can have a woman read the Bible to you, a man read the Bible to you. You can have somebody that's has a high-pitched voice to read them, a low-pitched. You can have somebody that has an English, like from London, England, you know, the way they talk, to read the Bible to you. You can have a Northeastern read the Bible to you. You can have a Southern hick read the Bible to you. Hey, today, no excuse. There is no excuse not to live for God. No excuse not to put Him first. Hey, change the way that you think. How do you do it? You do it through the books you read. You do it through the music you listen to. You do it through the TV, if they call it that today, or flat, whatever they call it, watching. You do it with the movies you watch. You do it through the persons that your friends around you. Hey, you can change your stinking thinking to that which is good and godly. I'm saying this, how is it that we can be able to be that person that reaches for the top? Here's what you do. You change the way you think. Statement number next. You change the way you see yourself. You know, watch. I'll help you about Wells here. I'm Wells. When I mess up, and I do, when I mess up, for emphasis sake, and I do. When I mess up, I correct me,
but I don't live there and I move on. Why? Because I don't have time. I think the most I've ever beat myself up continually over one thing was like about 3 days. I was in the grave for 3 days. For 3 days, I stinketh. Of course, I remember Lazarus. I think he was in the days grave 4 days. I got out a day before Lazarus. But it's in the grave. I figure if God raised his own son from the grave on the third day, he also has the power to raise me out of my misery. And so I'd go to God and say, God, look, third day, I'm looking for resurrection. God, help me. See, you can't live there. You can't do it. You won't survive. You won't make it. It will break you. It will ruin you. You cannot continue to live in self-pity and regret and remorse and uncomfortabilityness. You can't continue to live in an area like that and just, it's going to ruin you. It's going to take you out. I think we live in such a society today that everybody is concerned about what everybody else thinks about them. Yeah, but you're just overly concerned. So you walk proper. You speak proper. But you're not real. Man, let God use you. Did it ever occur to you that God knows all things about your strength and your weaknesses? And he still loves you? Did that ever occur to you? Well, you know, I'm not like Preacher Wells, or I'm not like a Brother Butler. I'm not like somebody else. And so therefore, God cannot use me. God wants to use you for you. Amen. I'm saying this. Change the way you think. Statement number next. I'm hastening to a close. Change the way you see yourself. Here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. By the way, we expect a child to think as a child. We do. Presently, we have two grandchildren. We have Andrew, and we have Elijah. Yesterday afternoon, we took a trip, my wife and I, and went out to see a new residence that Jared and Debbie's praying about buying, and Josh came out, Mindy came out, and there's two little grandkids came out. On the back of the residence they're looking at is a slab that goes down, sort of like a wheelchair ramp almost, goes down. And Elijah, little bitty kid, short little guy, no hair, no teeth. Here's what he's doing. He is walking down the slab, gets about that deep. He kneels down. He crawls over on the flat part. He stands up. He goes over. He walks down the slab. Gets about that deep, crawls over, walks up, walks down the slab, crawls over. He did that over and over and over again. I thought, he is just pleased with that little bitty thing that's before him. And I wish adults would be that way sometimes. Because here's what we do. If we don't have, you know, I think the problem is maybe we were spoiled when we were children. Because if we don't have everything just right, we get upset. I'm saying this. Here it is. So change the way that you see yourself. You know, some of the best sermons I've ever heard has been by men of God that did not care what they looked like while they were preaching. Because they lost themselves in the truth so much that all they cared about
They didn't care if their hair stayed combed. They didn't care if they were spitting and it was coming out white. They didn't care if sweat was rolling down. All they cared about, man, this is the truth. My people need the truth. So they would haul back and they would preach the truth. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they understood that they did not need to view themselves, because viewing themselves, they themselves would get in the way. I'm saying, see yourself as a nobody and let God use you. Let God finish the work that He starts inside of you. Don't try to establish yourself. Try to establish the truth. Realize that God loves you for who you are, and He cares about. I said to Stimulus 1, change the way you think. Change the way you see yourself. I'm done. Here it is. Change the way you think. God sees you. Change the way you think. God sees you. See, here's a Bible truth right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5. The Bible says, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are, listen to it now, we are not of the night nor of darkness. So realize how God sees you. You wake up, you get out of bed, God looks down from heaven and says, that's a child of the light. Now, by the way, if you're a child of the light, God expects you to act that way. He expects your testimony to be light, not darkness. Because when you have a testimony that's darkness, you don't represent Him well. So He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be who I made you to be. Be children of the light. You know, we ought to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. Okay, here we go. So you go through a rough time. You're remembering the things of the past. Things are bogging you down, and you just feel comfortable with your state of misery. You decide that here's what you're going to do. You're going to view yourself as being somebody that cannot be used of God. You ever think about this? How does other people see that? How does other people see that? D.L. Moody. Somebody said he had a sixth grade education. Read that in a book one day. Had a sixth grade education. They said when Moody would preach, he would slaughter, massacre, destroy the King's English. Why is it that God used Moody? I think that God used Moody because Moody got himself out of the way and said, God, I know I don't have much, but what little I do have, it's all yours. I think that's why God used Moody. I think sometimes we get so highly opinionated about ourselves that we think ourselves of a greater value than that which is the way we're supposed to be thinking about ourselves. Say this and I'm closing it out. Paul knew that he was an educated man. He knew it. Could speak, no doubt, many languages, depending on the person that does the Bible study. I've heard 9 languages. I've heard 14 languages. I don't know. It doesn't say how many he spoke. I do know this. He's an educated man. I know that. I know this. I know that being an educated man, he could have looked at himself and said, yes, look how I can serve God. Maybe be lifted up with pride. Also know this. Paul, I believe, was a murderer. I believe he had people executed. I believe he was a blasphemer. But I also believe he understood, accepted the grace and mercy of God. Amen. And because of that, God used him. In the latter days of Paul's life, I believe he was going blind. He wrote there in Corinthians to the church at Corinth. He talked about writing in large print. The reason he did that, I believe he had an eye problem. Maybe he was losing his vision, couldn't see like he used to, but he didn't use that as an excuse. William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, one day his son said, Dad, he was in his 80s now,
He said, Dad, why don't you quit? You've given God all your life. Everybody knows that you had a burden for the poor. You led hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people got saved because of you. Dad, why don't you quit? You can't hear real well. You can't see hardly at all. Why don't you quit? He was in his 80s. He looked at his son, and he said to his boy, he said, God used me when I could see good. God used me when I could hear good. Now we're going to see how God can use me when I can't see good and when I can't hear good. You see, I think we ought to decide 2018 not to live in regret. Yeah, amen. Not to live in such a comfortable way that we don't do what we should do for Christ. I think we ought to decide in 2018 that we're not going to live in fear.
Amen.
But we step out, we let God use us the way that God wants to use us. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great? 2018's coming to a close. All of a sudden, 2019 is upon us. And you look back and say, thank God I did. You don't look back and say, man, I wish I would have. I just wish I would have. Man, there's just so many things. I just wish I would have. But the only way that takes place is by you determining that you're going to keep some of your commitments for God and go forward. Father, we thank you for today.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.